We'd like to learn the Agadata on Daf Yudalet Amid Beis, two lines before the end of the Daf. The member of Ula followed by the member of Rabbi Yochanan, and to see if we can get an insight into this Agadata based on the writings of Rav Kook in the Ein Hayah. The Gemara says the following in the name of Ula. Omar Ula kalakore kriyat shma below tefillin. Kiilu made edus sheker biatzmo. Rashi points out lishna ma'alya. There's an edus sheker here, klapei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But to use a lishna ma'alya, he says edus sheker biatzmo. And in the past, we've discussed the question as to whether or not this is a chisarin in the mitzvah of kriyat shma or in the mitzvah of tefillin. We're going to assume for the time being that it's a chisarin in kriyat shma. Kriyat Shema requires Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim and Dafka with Tefillin. The Mefarshim explain that what is the nature of this Edus Sheker? Here he's making a commitment in the Parsha of Kriyat Shema to wearing Tefillin. And lo and behold, he's not wearing Tefillin. Could be that if he wears Tefillin later on, that would be a tikkun of what he did now. But be it as it may, at this point, since he's committing himself through the parasha of Kriyat Shema to tefillin, and he's not wearing his tefillin, that itself is a kind of an edus sheker. You're testifying in your declaration that you're being mekabel the mitzvahs, and where's your tefillin? Then the Gemara quotes another member, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ki'ilu hikriv ola b'lo mincha v'zevach b'lo nesachim. Rashi says that the Torah commanded us to bring as an accompaniment with the Ola a mincha, asiris haifa, and if he doesn't accompany his carbon Ola with a mincha, he is not fulfilling the mitzvah properly. Rashi says, af hakore, so too someone who recites Kriyat Shema, v'eino mekayim, but he's not fulfilling the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema, namely, tefillin, eino gomer es ha-mitzvah, his mitzvah is incomplete. So I derive two conclusions from this Rashi. Number one, Rashi's understanding that this sugya is a sugya in Hilchos Kriyat Shema, the kiyum of Kriyat Shema. And number two, I understand that there is a fundamental difference between the memra of Ula and the memra of Rabbi Yochanan. Whereas Ula is talking about Edus Sheker, that's very harsh language. There's some negative Isur here involved. Rabbi Yochanan, on the other hand, is talking about Eino Gomer HaMitzvah. His mitzvah of Kriyat Shema is incomplete. Rashi goes on, Dibra Maskel Nesachim, when the Gemara says in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, V'zevach B'lo Nesachim, he did not accompany his karban with Niske Ayayin. Rashi says that the word V'zevach here seems to be out of place. It could have just said, Ki Hikriv Ola B'lo Mincha B'lo Nesachim, leave out the word V'zevach. And Rashi says, "Hu adin debatzel memer kilu hikriv ola below mincha unisachim." The ola nami to una nisachim. That same karmen ola that you spoke about that needs mincha, it also needs nisachim. El lishne the kronokat ola umincha zevach unisachim. The pasuk itself is split up in that way, in which we have the word zevach unisachim, zevach first and then nisachim. And the Gemara is usually interested in following the pattern of the Nusach HaTorah. So if you look at Vayikra Chav Gimel, Pasuk Lamed Zayin, we'll see what Rashi has in mind here. Be that as it may, Rashi learns the Edus Sheker is not Biatzmo, that's just the Lashon Nekiya. The Gemara did not want to spell out that he's being made Edus Sheker BaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if you take a look at Rabbeinu Yonah on the Rif, he discusses whether or not there's an Iser involved here, or just he's forfeiting part of the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. The Magen Avraham is Mechadesh in Siman Chav Dalid, that the same din of Kriyat Shema below Tefillin applies with Kriyat Shema below Tzitzis, because once again, Tzitzis is in the parasha, the third parasha of Kriyat Shema, when he reads the parasha, and he's not fulfilling that mitzvah which is written in the parasha, that also is Edus Sheker. However, if you look at the Nebuchadnezzar Yosef, you will see that he learns that this Gemara is tefillin and dafka tefillin. He's being made sheker because the essence of tefillin is a zikaron, we should remember the nisim and the flaws of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's a special, unique dimension of tefillin. We would say it a little bit differently. We would agree with the conclusion, but maybe for a different reason. Tefillin is singled out here, as opposed to tzitzis, because tefillin is part and parcel of the mitzvah of Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim. That's unique in tefillin. And how do I know this? From the next statement of Rabbi Yochanan, V'yom Rabbi Yochanan, HaRotza Sheyikabel Olav Ol Malchus Shamayim Shlema, if he wants to complete his Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim, then he should do five things. Yifne, he should go to the washroom, V'yitol Yodav, Nitzis Yadayim, V'yaniach Tefillin, V'yikra Kriyat Shema V'yispala, five things that together comprise Zui Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim Shlema. We see clearly that tefillin is uniquely singled out for the mitzvah of Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim, and the parashas of tefillin have the parashas of Kriyat Shema in them. That's Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim. He wears it on his arm. That's a commitment to mitzvahs Maisius. He wears it on his head, which is a commitment to his machshavos. And the Rashba here, not in his Chidushim, but elsewhere in his Shut, actually, raises the question of, why does it say here, Netilas Yadayim? Because after all, the Iker here for the purpose of davening is Nekius, and it should be sufficient to be Rochetz or B'nikoyin Al Yidei Ofar. Why does it use the term Netilas Yadayim, which indicates a technical requirement of Kli? And he suggests that this requirement of Netilas Yadayim B'Kli for tefillah is limited to waking up in the morning, what we call Negel Vasu. We wake up in the morning, we become a Briah Chadosha based on the Gemara and Shabbos, and as a result, actually the Gemara and Shabbos is addressing the question of Rechitza as opposed to Kli. But we say, and that's what the Rashba emphasizes, that when we wake up in the morning, we are a Birya Chadasha. We need to be Modet HaKadosh Baruch Hu and thank Him for restoring our life, our very existence. And those are the Birchas HaShachar. And now, before we enter and we proceed to face the day, we wash our hands B'Netilas Yodayim B'Kli. And this is related to the Hiskachus that we find in Netilas Yadayim B'Kli of the Kohen, who was Mekadesh Yodav Min HaKiyar before he went in to do the Avodah. So as we face the Avodah of the day, we need Netilas Yadayim first, but that only applies uniquely to the Netilas Yadayim when we wake up in the morning and we're facing the day of Avodah Hashem. Now, our goal for today is to study a few osios, a few simonim here in the Ein Hayah. We're going to start with Im Yirtzeh Hashem Os Ches, Omar Ula Kol HaKori Kriyat Shema B'lo Tefillin, Kilu Meid Eidu Sheker Liatzmo, go on to Os Tes, and finally Os Yud. If we have time for more, we'll go on after that, but these are the three simonim that I wanted to study with you to appreciate the brilliance here and the creativity of Avraham Yitzchak HaKohen Kuk. Gether Eidus Sheker. We're comparing Kriyat Shema B'lo Tefillin to Eidus Sheker, the false testimony. Where's the perjury here? He says, Hu Ameid Mashalo Ra. Person testifies about something that he didn't see, he didn't witness it. And in this context, Kriyat Shema, Hashem Echad, is really a problem in and of itself. And why is that? He says, Hine Hasoga, Hasoga Salukus, for man with his finite intellect to comprehend infinite divinity, he menua, it's impossible. Man, insofar as he is a finite being, doesn't have the capacity to comprehend God. Menua misechal anoshi, the human intellect is limited in that way. So to testify that God is one, from the get-go we have a problem. That's Eidus Sheker. You cannot testify that you know that God is one. And Yesod Ha'achdus Le'amitoso Hula Maila Mi'asagaseinu, the underlying fundamental concept of the unity of God is so profound that we don't have the ability to understand it. You'd have to enter into the world of infinity. Is Echi Tochen Shiyoid? I'll say, how can he possibly testify? So the whole testimony of Kriyat Shema, about Achdus Hashem, Hashem Echad, is the Rab Sinigra, is difficult in and of itself. Where's the possibility of testifying about something that you didn't see? And we need some sort of factor that's going to neutralize this Eidus Sheker element that's inherent in Hashem Echad, in our declaration of Kriyat Shema. If he's testifying about the unity of God, and that God is the Achdus that combines everything, it's Achdus Gemura, then Enochinam, we have a problem. But he's not doing it as a Yediyah Mufshetes, some sort of abstract philosophical, theological principle, but rather he connects it and integrates it into Asiyas Maisim. When he implements the will of God and he does Maisim Tovim, is Nechshalokilu Haven. Now it becomes retroactively as if he really did comprehend the oneness of God. Gamis Hatzir Shalamada, the intellectual. And why? What gives me the right to jump from abstract intellectual understanding and comprehension to the action and the implementation of the will of God? Those two seem to be totally unconnected, disconnected. But the answer is, they are connected. Shetachlis halimud. What is the ultimate goal of understanding or trying to understand the oneness of God? It's not just some sort of mada mufshat. It's not just some sort of intellectual exercise, the study of the philosophy of religion, But rather, is the tachlis is hapu'ulos hanitzmachos mimenu. You've accepted the oneness of God. You've accepted that his essence, his reality is unique. And anything that exists only exists because of him. He is the sovereign ruler. You've now gotten to the point where you're ready, eager, and willing to implement his will. And implementation of his will is itself a reflection and a result of the understanding, the belief in Hashem Echad. So inherent in Hashem Echad is our commitment to the Maisim Tovim. And when we show that commitment, demonstrated by implementing the Maisim Tovim as his will is, then we are, in a sense, retroactively declaring, yes, I can testify about God's oneness. So the unique testimony of Kriyat Shema is a combination of a verbal statement of theology, if you'd call it that, about the divinity, about the oneness, and at the same time, an action that's implemented. That tziruf, that integration of a declaration and an action, that's what creates Eidus Emes. That's what transforms the Eidus of Kriyat Shema into a valid, reliable Eidus. Al Kanan, therefore, be also Kori Kriyat Shema Miniyat Tefillin. If he recites Kriyat Shema and accompanies that with the Hanoch of Tefillin, Shumaisa Mesiachseis be also the Kriyat Zu. If there's any action that testifies and immortalizes the belief in God and his powers, his Achdus, we saw before that the Ruki Yosef identifies Tefillin as a unique mitzvah that forms the backbone and integrates into Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shmaya. There's something unique about Tefillin. Tefillin is really the Maisa that realizes that Motzi Mefol. It takes the abstract declaration of the oneness of God into and implements it in reality. And therefore, says Rav Kook, now as a result of the wearing of Tefillin, his Eidus is Eidus Ne'amana, it's true and reliable Eidus. He, by wearing tefillin, is showing his stuff. That is the Achdus of Hashem in a Maisa Mefal. and he recognizes the truth, and he accepts the fact that God has willed and enjoined him with statutes that he has to perform, in this case, tefillin. However, if he doesn't wear tefillin, then we're back to square one. He is testimonying about something abstract, something that belongs to, he calls it Tzir Mufshat, to the worlds above, a theoretical, intellectual, philosophical statement about God, Vizenela mi sichlo, and this comprehension about God is above the intellectual capacity of man. V'lo hisig, he doesn't have a comprehension. Im keinu ki'ilu meyed edu sheker, hainu al mashalo ra. So in this, you know, just to summarize, in this brilliant presentation, what the Rav is trying to present here is an integration of a statement of mada, of seichel, of intellect, in the abstract world, about the nature of divinity, that's not Hashem Echad, to integrate that with the maisa of wearing tefillin. And only when the two are there, in conjunction, only then is there edus emes, edus nemana. If you isolate the intellectual, philosophical declaration about the nature of God from the anochas tefillin, that's haminiach, that's Hakori Krishmolo Tefillin, then it's Eidus Sheker. Because you, as a mortal, limited man, have no capacity to say, oh, I understand godliness, divinity, I have a Hasoga of what it means, Hashem Echad. That becomes Eidus Sheker unless it is accompanied with the wearing of Tefillin. So that's what we have in Os Ches. Now, in addition to the statement of Ula, we have the memra of Rabbi Yochanan. Once again, he recited Kriyat Shema without wearing tefillin. Rabbi Yochanan equates that with Kilu Hikriv Ola Blo Mincha Vezevach Blo Nesachin. And in order to really appreciate Rabbi Yochanan and his analogy between Hikriv Ola B'lo Mincha and Kara Kriyat Shema B'lo Tefillin, we have to really study the relationship between the Akrovas HaKarbon and the Mincha, and the Nesachim. And then we can come back and appreciate the analogy to Kari Kriyat Shema B'lo Tefillin. HaMincha V'Nesachim V'Karbonos Hem Misuga Tzomech V'Karbonos D'Balei Chai Misuga Chai. We divide up the universe into various categories. There's what's called tzomeach, the vegetation, of course. For example, grapes grow from the ground, and we take these grapes and we make them into wine, we bring them as nesachim, or we plant grains, we grow grains in the land, and from those grains we make a solus mincha, and that becomes the karbonachos. So both menachos and nesachim are just simple, you know, cases or expressions of the Sug HaTzomeach, that part of the universe which is called Tzomeach. HaKarbonas, however, when you bring the animal as a carver, that's already Bal Chai. And that Bal Chai is superior in the pyramid of reality, as we know it in the physical universe, to Tzomeach. So from Tzomeach we go all the way up to Chai. Gavoa Mimenu. Chai is much higher. Then we get to the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach itself, upon which we bring the Karbonos, is a Mizbach Adama. Now we've gone down to the lowest level called Domim. So we've got Bal Chai, we've got Tzomeach, we've got Domim. What we're missing is the highest level, and that's man, that's the Medaber. He is on the top of the totem pole. Below him, of course, are the Bal Chaim. They are not gifted to speak. Then we have below that the tzmachim that can't move, have no mobility, don't even have the faintest decision-making process at all. And then we finally have domain, which is completely inanimate. And what this person is doing when he brings his karmon, he's in effect taking a little bit of all the, I mean, he's the Medaber, he belongs to the Medaber, but he's taking all the representatives, if you will, of all the other classes of the universe. And first he takes, he brings his cover on the Mizbeach to demonstrate that we have to serve Hashem even with the domain. The Mizbeach is the greatest avoda, the paradigm of avoda. We're going to serve Hashem with the Mizbeach Adama, and that is a natural phenomenon in the universe that only has an inanimate nature to it. It's really the Shafel Shebishfelim. It's the lowest on the pyramid. But it's going to be now taken, so to speak, by hand and led through the path of Avodas Hashem to bring us towards Dveikus and Hashem. It's going to be elevated. And basically, the carbon in its whole, if you take the whole picture, has within it all the kochos of nature that were given to us from Hashem with His compassion, God's chesed. And what we're doing is, we're going to serve Hashem not only with the higher kochos, but also with the lowest of kochos. We're going to go all the way down from Bal Chai down to Tzomach, and from Tzomach down to Domeim, to the Mizbeach Adama. And the shlemus, the perfection of our avodat Hashem, is when we utilize all the kochos and integrate them into our avoda. In other words, this is the opposite of those who would say, of those who would have it that, you know what, let's use our higher kochos, our intellect. Why do we have to stoop down to the shvelim, to the bali chayim, to the tzom and tzomeach, and to the world of domim? Who needs that? But the answer is, we do need it. Why? Because without this integration of every single representative class of the universe, then we don't have the real avoda. We'll never reach the avoda, the mila of shlemus. Shlemus means taking all the aspects of nature, of the biological world, and going all the way down to carbon, all the way down to the Mizbeach Adama, which is inanimate, and bring them all into the fourth, to bring them all towards the avoda of the carbon and integrate them into the avoda of the carbon. And that's the way we achieve shlemus, by integrating all different representative parts of the universe of God's creation into this avoda. And man himself has a nefesh. He has within him kochos gvoim. He has very powerful, almost limitless kochos in the spiritual world. Heim koch ha-seichel va-dibur v'koch ha-maise. Man has the capacity of thinking, of thought, of speech, of using his hands to do a maise. And all this, all these kochos, he says, Hukach HaChayim HaShofel. They represent man taking or stooping down, so to speak, to the lower levels of physicality, of Koch HaMaseh, and to integrate them all into this Avoda of Hashem. Now, let's see, in the light of this introduction, if we can appreciate the analogy to Kori Kriyat Shema. Kori Kriyat Shema is going to be one of the primary modes of Avodas Hashem, of Kabbalas Avodas Hashem. And the recitation itself only utilizes the Koach Adibur, the highest level of man. But we need the Tefillin. Why would the Tefillin help me here and create some sort of pattern or experience that corresponds, it's a mirror image to what we do in Karbanos, when we bring not only the Behemah, we bring also the Mincha and the Nesachim, the Tzomach, and all this is integrated into one action on the Mizbeach, which is the Mizbeach Adama of the Domeim. How do we see something similar in Kriyat Shema? Because Kriyat Shema itself is the Spitz of the Koach HaGavoah, the highest Koach of man, the Koach HaDibur. Oh, so the answer is that Tefillin represents what we call the kochos hamasiyim. Tefillin is something that we wrap around our hands. It's yadayim, it's maisa, it represents the maisa. It belongs to the physical universe. It's not just a matter of contemplating. You can sit and think about tefillin and God from now till who knows when, but you don't fulfill the mitzvah tefillin until you actually wear the tefillin. So when he wears the tefillin, he's moreh, he demonstrates that gam kochos hamaisim, even the powers that are inherent in actions, heim churim, that are physical, belong to the and tied to the physical world, they're all meshubadim lavodoso. And therefore, when he reads Kriyat Shema alone, as an act of Seichel HaGavah, of Dibra HaGavah, and he leaves out the tefillin, which represent the Olam HaMasa, the Kochos HaMasiyim, the Chomriyim, the physical, that should all be brought to the table when he's Mekabel Olam HaShemayim, and he left it out. Is Gama Kochos HaMasiyim Shem Chomriyim, he says, Udome Keilu Hikriv Olam Lo Mincho Zevach Lo Nesachim. What is the parallel between the two? The answer is that just like someone who brings a korban olah, he leaves out the mincha, he omits the nesachim, he's trying to say, you know what, my avodah belongs to the elyon, you know, to the world of man, and I'm not and the balchai, of course, taking the balchai and the mizbech, I'm not interested in all the other lower elements of reality of the created world. And by doing so, he forfeits the great, wonderful ability that God has given man to his conscious to sanctify and use for avodah, even the lower rungs on the ladder of creation. And the same thing applies in the case of someone who recites Kriyat Shema and does it with tefillin. He's basically declaring, not in so many words, but by implication, that my avodah is the avodah of the Elyonim, of my kochos that are the supreme, unique endowment of man. And in such a case, he's really like bringing a karba without its accompaniments. Because those accompaniments are meant to represent the olam hatzomeach, which has to be elevated by being integrated into the act of avodah, and he failed to do so. And now he's leaving out tefillin. He's reciting Kriyat Shema, and he's expressing a beautiful avodah of his kochos elyonim, of his seichel, but he's leaving out the masim, the koch masim chomriyim. And therefore, the equation of Rabbi Yochanan is very, very sharp. Now, with regard to a karban chatos, the halacha is that a karban chatos is not accompanied by a mincha or by niskeyayin. And Rav Kook wants to explain why is it that Rabbi Yochanan, in his analogy, he focuses exclusively on a karban olah and leaves out karban chatos. And the answer is because chatos doesn't require mincha nesachim. And why is that so? And the answer is that this chatos belongs to the world of kapara fachet. A man inadvertently violated a Torah law. He's got to bring a karban chatos if that Torah law is very severe. Had it been bevezit, he'd be chayv kares, and b'shogeg, he's chayv a karban. The lower echelons of the pyramid of reality don't belong, they have no place within the context of the avodah of karmon. Because what brought this person to violate the Torah law b'shogeg and to be obligated to bring a karmon chatos? The answer is, it was his bechira. He was negligent. Had he been more careful and meticulous utilizing his endowment of freedom of choice, this never would have come about. The chait is a result of man messing up with his freedom of choice. And when we talk about nature and the biological universe, there's no recognition of the difference between Iser v'Heter. That belongs uniquely to the realm of man. Man is meant to understand and appreciate the repercussions of his actions and yet to avoid those actions. And here a person, in the case of a karban chatos, he has to show a tikkun in order to achieve kapara, and he's saying, look, I've decided to bring a karban, I want to get close to Hashem. But in this case, the olam atzomeach that's represented by the nesachim and by the mincha, that's irrelevant here, because those parts of the universe have absolutely no freedom of choice. However, even though there's no mincha, there's no nesachim in the case of a karma chatos, nevertheless, le'inyan malos v'yisronos, if we want to talk about reaching higher levels of dveikus in Hashem, al zeh bo karban ola, right? The purpose of chatos is just to be mesalek the onesh, and spare you, and defend you, protect you against the punishment that you deserve for this violation of a severe nature in the case of shogeg. Now, we get to a whole new ball game as far as karbanos is concerned. That's the karbanola. Its purpose is not because you messed up and you want to remove the onesh and the chet, but rather it's your desire and your motivation to achieve milos v'yisronos, to get onto higher levels of dveikus. And you're in desire, you absolutely have a desire to bring this carbon ola to achieve these milos v'yisronos. It's not siluk achet, it's not sur mira, it's asei tov, it's dveikus. And therefore, if he's actively involved with a deliberate decision in a process to bring himself to a higher level of dveikus, then he has to take with him all the kochos, the natural parts of the universe. And he's got to take with him the ola, the niske, yayin, and the minochos, which are made of tzomeach, you know, the five grains, and stuff, etc., etc. And basically what man is doing is he's reaching out and embracing the entire universe in all its levels, the Elyonim and the Shvelim on the bottom, in order to bring about a Dveikus in Hashem. That's man's Dveikus. This is the unique gift that God bestows to man. That man has the capacity to take and embrace all of nature, every single one of the various categories of nature, and utilize them and integrate them into their avoda, in this case into the avoda sakarbon, in order to achieve true, genuine Dveikus. That profound Dveikus is achieved when man integrates all parts of reality into his avoda Hashem. And therefore he says, This is all part of the divine gift to man. Avraham Avinu is able to utilize all of his physicality, all of his ramach evarim, for the sake of avodas Hashem, and that's because Hashem was mashlit him. Hashem gave him that sovereign rulership, that power to do so. And it's an amazing kind of thing here when man serves Hashem with dveikus. What he's able to do to sanctify is not just himself and his own nefesh, he sanctifies the world around him, the physicality. And at some point, he changes the whole nature of the physical universe. And he endows the universe, he injects within physical items this kind of tov and kadosh, this kind of sanctification. And that's all a divine gift. Man has many gifts, and he's endowed with freedom of choice, but he is limited. And one of the limitations is man's ability of kiddush, meaning to be makadish the world around him and really change the very essence of physical objects around him. It's a mystical concept. But man can't do that on his own. He doesn't have the abilities to do so. He needs HaKadosh Baruch Hu's matana. There was a separate divine gift that was given to man that allows man to use his dveikus, his act of avodas Hashem, and in such a way that by integrating all the lower echelons of society, of reality, they too become sanctified and they become integrated into his avoda, into his dveikus with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the amazing power of man's avoda to be makadish the world that was given by HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a gift. And that's what we're seeing here. If a person reads Kriyat Shema without tefillin, then he's dedicating himself to serve Hashem with the Elyonim part of reality, with his machshava, with his intellect. But what he's leaving behind him is the Nesachim and the mincha. The comparison to a person who brings a korban olah and he drops the ball as far as the menachos and the nesachim are concerned. Which means he just simply gives up on the opportunity to take the lower echelons of society, of reality, the shvelim, the tzomeach, etc., and elevate them and sanctify them. And basically, when a man wears tefillin, that levishas tefillin, according to Rav Kook, is a model. It's a representation, a symbolic representation of the olam hativi, the olam of maaseh. And we want to take the intellect and integrate it with the olam maaseh, and the two together form an amazing team, which allows man to uplift and sanctify the entire world around him. And now we move on to number Yud. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Arot Zeshi Kabbalah of O Malchus Shamayim Shlema, Yiponev, Yitol Yodav, Yaniyat Tfilin, Yikra Kriyat Shrav Yispalel. Says Rav Kook, these five dimensions of a sequence that is classified and described as Kabbalah Samach Shmaim, they correspond to five different modes of the service of Hashem. And we need to achieve Shlemus. And the true perfection is only when we can integrate all these five modes of Avodas Hashem. The first one is L'salik Mimenu Chisronos Hativiyim Kineged Midos Haros V'chayotze Bazeh. The first level, the basic level, man has to remove from himself and distance himself from those deficiencies in his nature, which are called Midos Ros. And a person, by his nature, gets used to certain negative patterns of behavior, and that hergel becomes teva, becomes what he's used to, and the way he acts becomes part of his nature. That's what he has to uproot. Then he gets to the second level, advancing in a sequence higher and higher as he ascends the ladder. And that is to remove those deficiencies that belong to the level of freedom of choice, of will, of action. And finally he gets to the third level, in which instead of sur meira, instead of removing from himself all sorts of failings and deficiencies, he now, in a positive sense, is acquiring the highest levels of those midos hatovos, the good ways of behavior. For example, a mido like anova, like humility, and all the midos tovos. He's got to work hard to possess them and integrate them into his very soul. And after that, he gets to a higher level, which is number four on his list, in which he seeks out the milos that belong to Bechira, you know, not to the midos level, but to the level of action. And then finally gets to the highest level, in which the shlemus is clinched when he is able to pray on behalf to Hashem, on behalf of Siyata Dishmai, that Hashem should help him go higher and higher beyond his teva. And these five correspond to the five hanhagos that lead to a complete acceptance of the yoke of heaven to complete Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim. And this is something that man requires on a daily basis. Each one of these five actions, respectively, symbolize and represent the five levels of acquiring Shlemus in the human behavior sphere, in the realm of Midos Tovos and Maisim Tovim. The first level is, as we said before, to remove that part of nature which is really, in a sense, what we call psolus. It's like the refuse. Things that keep man back, hold him back. Those midos ros that are a result of his hergel, of his teva ra. And that's the first level, which requires a tahara of netilas yodayim. I'm sorry. I meant to say of Yipone. Yipone represents when he takes out the psalas from his body, the siluk midus haros. Then he gets to the second level, the higher level of taras hanefesh. That's represented by netilus yadayim, which is a taras yadayim. It means to purify and elevate his actions in the world of freedom of choice, to remove all those barriers. That's netilus yadayim. Then he gets to tefillin. Tefillin represents that part of man's nature in which, if he possesses the right kochos, he becomes very powerful. That's why minayin shatefillin owes him li Yisrael. Chazal talk about in the Gemara Brachos earlier that tefillin are the owes to Yisrael. They're the power of Yisrael, and that's called kiddush hateva b'midos tovos hativios. And that is the sanctification level beyond Sur Meira. It's already on the level of the positive, of reaching a higher plateau. And the tefillin represent the chibur, the connection between the mind and the body, between the soul and the spirit of man and his physicality. The Rambam, therefore, in the fourth parak of Hilchos Tefillin, speaks about tefillin berosh shel adam hu anav, and he reaches a level of dveikus in Hashem. And now we're ready for the next level of Kriyat Shema. Kriyat Shema, of course, awakens within us that mode of Kabbalah Savoda, that we accept upon ourselves a dedication and a loyalty to be Oved Hashem with our full freedom of choice. That's Kabbalah Ol Malchus Shemayim and Old Mitzvahs. And after that, we finally reach the highest level. Man realizes that he cannot achieve everything on his own, that despite the fact that he is utilizing all his powers of intellect and emotion and teva, natural, but nevertheless there's some weakness in man. And man therefore needs to pray to Hashem, to ask Hashem li ameitz chelo, to strengthen him, to give him that extra power, so that he can merit coming to the highest levels of Milos Teromios. And that's the Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shamayim, Shlema, the complete Ol Malchus Shamayim. And if he can integrate all these five elements and what they symbolize, then he'll reach the highest level with the Tfilos. And I think these are three brilliant pieces of Rav Kook to interpret the Gemara of, whether it's Ula or Rav Yochanan, all these different insights into Kriyat Shema and Tefillah and Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim, Yirotzav if His will, that we, with all our Ishtadlus, shall be Zoche through Tefillah to be Zoche to Siat Tishmai and achieve these higher levels. And whenever we cite Kriyat Shema, we understand that the Ikar is to have Kriyat Shema with Tefillin. That combination, that integration is so critical. And we should be Zoche Mirtz Hashem to be able to be makriv ola, and when we bring the ola, we'll bring it accompanied with a mincha, with nesachim, to raise and elevate the entire universe with us in our dveikus takodesh baruch hu, kein yiratzon, amen.